something you on the prayer or learn list, or something that you started, or something, yeah, anything on that list that you might have started or thought about or done, actually. A couple people share. Could be small.
Hey, Arthur.
Yes. Jesse? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you're muted.
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
So our old missions pastor from our previous church, they went down to Mexico last weekend. So I spoke with him through text, and we prayed for them, and they had a great trip, and came back on Saturday last week. So I don't know if that counts, but we did.
Awesome. It's like two in one. You pray, and you also like send, like supported them.
Yeah.
So, pray. So you're already ahead. Yeah. Okay. Great. Anyone else?
It's kind of cheating, but my dad's a missionary, so I prayed for him.
Okay. Okay. Good. Good. What's one thing you pray about?
Like less interference from the government, or just, you know, like stability and disability, because there's a lot of things that happen that kind of derail what he wants to do.
Mm-hmm.
So just, yeah, praying that those things don't keep happening.
Okay, great. Awesome. So I don't know, could you hear Daniel? Like, I don't always know if you guys can hear online.
Aren't they muted?
No, I know, but they can hear me because it's from the speaker.
Yeah, we could hear Daniel.
Okay, great. Awesome. Okay. Anyone else want to share? Okay, so how many people pray, and I sent this through email, how many people have been praying just regularly, in general, not about missions, but just like 5 to 10 minutes for most days? Like, how many people can say that they do that? Okay, and it's not bragging, it's just like, okay, great, awesome. Okay. So I want to encourage you, because, you know, to talk about prayer, I think one thing we talk about prayer is like, I've shared this example before, not here, but when we pray regularly about something, it's like God's determining if we're ready for something, okay? So for instance, like, I'll use Maddie's example, Maddie, like she had never told me she wanted to drive. Okay, she's 14, so she legally can, right? But like, she's never asked me, Dad, can I get a car? Can I learn to drive? And all that, right? Which tells me, as a parent, like, she's not ready, right? She would be scared. Like, she looks at the risk of driving. She, like, she has in nowhere in her thought, at least what she expressed to me, that she wants that. Yeah. Okay. But maybe when she's 16 and she sees her friends driving and she sees the benefits of that, being more independent, going out, and like, she may ask me, right? But as a parent, like, Grace and I will have to decide. That doesn't mean she's ready. It just means that she's asking for it, right? And as a parent, we have to decide, is she mature enough to do so, and all these things, right? But the fact that if we don't ask God for the unreached, you know, God basically says, okay, well, you're not ready, okay? You're not ready to take this step, and maybe there's no movement in that because you're not ready, right? Not to say that in the future you won't be ready, but God looks at that, our prayer, right? And that goes with not just with unreached, but anything in our life, right? If we don't pray for it, God says, okay, maybe I know you're not ready for this, okay? The other thing is that, what I want to ask, and I'll share something, but what do we pray for when we pray for the unreached? Like, what are some things? There's a lot of different answers, but what would you pray for? What specific prayers would you have for unreached people? And you can throw out different things.
Pray for open hearts and open minds, mm-hmm. because we're going into their country and they will have their own beliefs or their own environment. So just to have an open heart to the gospel is great.
Okay. Great. Thank you, Jenna. What are the things that we pray for?
Safety for
safety. Safety for
who? Missionaries.
Okay, we can pray for safety for missionaries. Yeah. They face even Daniel's dad. I mean, there's different risks. Yeah.
I think a lot of missionaries reaching these unreached people, they ask prayer that they, because they're in bondage to fear of other gods and to the demonic.
Mm-hmm.
So they would really see how real our God is. They can
okay.
Great. Hey, Arthur, we need to pray for less government interference, like Daniel's dad's going through now. I know a lot of other countries are very tied, where your government and religion are tied together. Some Islamic countries are very closely tied together, and the government won't hassle you. Sometimes they're really restrictive or don't even allow you in the country.
Wow.
Pray for missionaries that are able to deal with the governments and things and not be hassled too much.
Right. Okay. I'm also reminded, that's totally true. Also reminded what Frank was sharing last week, that, you know, let's say for the Chinese, they don't necessarily pray for that because they realize that persecution actually has further spread the gospel. And so, but yes, definitely pray for less government interference, right?
Open door, or opportunities to just get there.
Okay. Opportunities to get there. Okay. Open doors. Good. Anything else? Okay, great. Let me share. Let me share my screen. Okay. So what do we pray for? Okay, I'm just highlighting one thing. All these answers are valid. Okay. But one of the things, and this is a famous verse, Matthew 9. Does someone want to read that for us?
Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field."
Great. So what is, reading this, what is our role? What does God ask us to do? Or what does Jesus specifically ask us to do?
Send out workers. Be workers.
Okay. So to be workers or missionaries or whatever you want to call that. Okay. What else? What is Jesus asking us, his disciples, to do?
To send.
To send? Okay. Okay. Someone said to ask. Okay. Both are true. Okay. So main focus in 38. Okay. What's the direct commandment or what Jesus is asking, right? Ask the Lord, right? He's referring to the disciples. He's asking the disciples. He made a statement, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And we'll look at that today. But he says to the disciples, ask the Lord of the harvest, right? So pray. Ask the Lord of the harvest, which is God, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Okay. So who is sending in this case? Is it us that is sending?
Yeah.
Who's sending in this case? Just on this verse.
Sounds like God's sending them.
Right. So God is a, so he's asking us to pray to God, right? To send out, God is sending out the workers, right? Into what? His harvest field. Okay. So it's his workers, right? The Lord's workers, but also his harvest field. Right. So God owns this whole process, right? God asks us to pray to him to send out his workers into his harvest field. Okay. But we'll explore that a little bit deeper, okay? Because so what is our role in this reaching the unreached? Is it only to pray? Okay. Because if it's just this verse, it may seem like we're just kind of people who are on the sidelines. We just pray and then God does the work. And I think this is what Frank last week we had kind of delved into a little bit. Like, are we just kind of sitting on the sidelines and God does everything? Okay, where does that, anyone have any thoughts about that?
We're still going off this verse only, or
like it could be extended, like it doesn't have to be just this verse.
Well, there's like, you think of Matthew, the last chapter of Matthew, then right, go there for him.
Uh-huh. Right.
So here he's telling us to ask, but then later at the end, saying also just go.
Go, okay. Right. So clearly not just pray, right, but also go. And I think one of the articles we looked at was also, we don't use prayer just as an excuse to not do anything, right? Prayer should, it moves God, but it also moves us, right? So, okay, good. Okay. So let's explore that a little bit more, okay? So let's transition from this praying way to sending, now focusing on sending, okay? So one of the, and I think Cindy might have brought this verse out too, okay? Does someone want to read this verse? Romans 10.
But everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the ones that have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who brings good news.
Okay, great. Thank you, Omar. Okay, so in this verse, how many different steps are there for an unreached person to be saved? Okay, I'm kind of asking you to go backwards, right? Like this is saying, this is kind of have a rhetorical question, like how can they do this unless they've done this? But let's just take it from the beginning. Like how many steps are there for an unreached person to be saved? Anyone want to count the number of steps? Okay, so Daniel says 5. So anyone want to list, what's the first step? Working backwards.
Send.
Okay, send, right? So someone has to send. Okay, what's the next step? Preach, I heard preach. Okay, what's the next step? Hear, they have to hear it, right? They have to understand it, right? You can't just preach in another language that they don't understand. They have to hear it. Okay, what's the next step? Believe, okay? And then the last step, maybe save, right? So maybe you can put believe and save in the same kind of thing. So four or five steps, right? And so I highlight this verse because it shows us the importance of sending, right? So we're talking about sending and sending missionaries, sending people who will preach, right? In a way they can understand, that they hear it, okay? And preaching can take many forms, right? But they hear it, they believe it, and they're saved, right? So we're gonna focus on this sending aspect, okay? So we talked about like God wanting to send his workers out into the harvest field, right? What does that mean for us? Like, do we have a role in that sending process as well? Not necessarily for these verses, but what do you think in general? And people are nodding yes, because it's one of the ways, right? So it's, but why? Like, why?
So support them financially.
Okay, support them financially, okay. Okay, good. Now, does the church, where does the church come in for this role of sending? Okay, so what the financial aid? Okay, so just more money, right? Or like, okay. What other? Is there any verse in the Bible or example that shows that the church is, the role of the church is also to send workers? We know it's God's role, but is there an example that the church also has that role by extension? Okay. The classic verses example is in Acts chapter 13. Okay. Does someone want to read this?
Now in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off.
Okay, great. And so this is an example of the church, right? The church at Antioch, right? And this is like Antioch was one of the first churches where they called themselves Christians, right? So the church, what did the Holy Spirit do? While they were worshiping and fasting, the Holy Spirit said to the, presumably to the leaders of this church, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work which have I called them, right? And actually it was probably Saul who established this church, right? So it's a question whether did the church recognize Paul and Barnabas for the work they've already done, right? Because they've already been on mission trips and preaching the gospel, established, planting churches, okay? And the church is there to affirm what they already see. Or is it the church like being the initiator of this? Okay. There's a little bit different, right? One is just like, oh, I recognize you have that call and I affirm that, go, or sending you. Or is it the church's responsibility to like, we have that responsibility and we are sending you out. Okay. And probably both, right? There's some aspect of both that the church's role to send out, to affirm something they've already seen, but also that the church has the responsibility of sending it out, right? It's not just that Paul and Barnabas went wherever, right? The church blessed them for their work, you know, affirmed what the Holy Spirit was saying, you know, placed their hand, prayed for them and sent them off, right? So sending it off is not just go, not just like, but I assume, and there's other verses that they supported them, right? Through finances, through other things, prayer, other things that the church supported them, okay? So when we talk about the importance of sending, so when we often talk about missions class, I try to not emphasize missionaries as much because we always think, oh, like missionaries, okay, that of course, we're gonna talk about missionaries in a missions class, right? But we don't think often enough about sending, the importance of sending, okay? So, but it's not less important than going, than missionaries, okay? Do you know how I know this? It's because God himself is a sender, right? God says, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, Jesus, the Father sent Jesus, I am sending you, right? So is God the Father any less important than Jesus? No, right? No, God the Father sent Jesus, right? And then Jesus is sending us, right? So there's important, the sending and the going have equal importance, right? It's not that, oh, the missionary is doing all the work, okay? And then we are just kind of there to just like, oh, yay, like, we'll pray for you, but we never do kind of thing, you know? It's like, no, we have equal responsibility to send, okay? And so, but in reality, a lot of times the missionary does the work, right? And the missionary is unsupported, right? We may write a check, you know, but are we really supporting them? Are we really seeing their work as an extension of what the church responsibility is, right? If we did see it that way, then we wouldn't just write the check, okay? We would do all these other things. We would pray for them. We would call them. We would, you know, Skype them or whatnot, okay? Write letters, like support them when they're here, when they're abroad, right? So because we see that there's that importance, okay? So with that, okay, so where do we send them? Where does the church send missionaries, okay? So I'm gonna play, we're gonna do an activity, okay? And to do it online also, I'm gonna share something. But before we get that, any comments on these verses or any thoughts?
Arthur, are these various groups, like we've heard of before, the Wycliffe Bible Translators or OMF or some of those, are they really specifically send to areas that they're requested to send to, or there's a need, or are they necessarily affiliated with a church? Mm-hmm. Those are very well-known organizations, mm-hmm. but where do they determine really who has priority or where the most needs are? How is that determined?
Right. Great question. I think that leads into our activity. How does a missions agency or people who are responsible or a church, maybe a large church that sends missionaries, like where do they send it? You know, needs, how do you determine what needs are, right? Who knows, right? So that's what I'm gonna role play right now, actually, okay? So we're gonna pretend, people here and online as well, we're gonna pretend that we are a missions board of a large missions, either an agency or a church. Okay? Some of these churches function as their own kind of board, but we have 100 missionaries from our church that we wanna send out, okay? It's up to us in the next 15 minutes to decide where are we gonna send them, okay? So in the classroom, I have this big map, okay? So I want everyone to stand up, okay? And I'm also, for the online people, I'm gonna share a map. Okay, so you guys see the map there, right? Okay, and does someone online know how to annotate the map? Like there's an annotate function and you can put like little stamps. We're gonna put little stamps and little things on the different countries that we decide to send missionaries to. Okay, so these are little pieces, okay? And there's about 100 of them. Okay, each piece represents a missionary unit, what we call, like a family. It could be a single person, it could be a couple, it could be a whole family, okay? So each one is one, and we have 100 of them, okay? And I want us to go around and just tell us where to put these pieces, okay? Now you can start off by telling, okay, I want 2 or 3 to go to this country just because you have a connection. That's fine. But you'll eventually discover is like, how do we even, I want the discussion to be amongst us, is like, how do we decide where to send these people? How do we know? And you may bring up background information and as such, okay? So I want maybe some people just break it, just start placing, where do you want to put these? You have 15 minutes to decide where these people go. Okay, and so online, sorry, does anyone online know how to annotate?
Arthur, can you make the map any bigger? Is that possible? It's really hard to see some of these countries. Is that possible? Very good. Thank you very much.
Oh, wow.
Is that good?
That's very good. Thank you.
Okay. Okay, so, sorry, who knows how to annotate online? There's a button that says annotate.
Yeah, I've got it. I've done it before.
And then you could, so Scott, can I have you be the designated person to, like, if we say a country in class, like, just put a little sticker on or a little stamp.
A heart or something, or a star?
Okay. Okay. Right. Online people too, if you want to share something, like, I want two people or three people to be in this country, just shout it out. Okay.
As so, do we have a limit, like an overall limit?
100. We have 100 missionary families or couple or units. So that's 5. If you're familiar with the game of Risk, that's 5.
Oh.
Okay. So that's 5 missionary couples. Where do you want to put the
10?
Probably Japan.
The cannon.
Yeah.
I didn't bring the 10. Yeah. So where would you put these missionaries on the map if you were to send them?
They're putting them in the water.
Okay.
Indonesia.
Yes.
Okay. Indonesia. Why? Indonesia. Why, Jen?
Because they have a lot of Muslim population, and my previous maid, she was from. Indonesia.
Okay. How many do you want to put there, Janet? Or everyone here too?
5.
Yeah.
Sorry, say that again.
5?
5. Okay, let's put 5.
Wow. And also Japan.
Okay.
Because it's hard for them to change religion because of filial piety.
Right.
Some of the real small countries I heard, it's not showing up for some reason. If I put stars in there, it's not showing up.
Oh.
The larger countries, the real small countries, it doesn't. I don't see the stars showing up.
How about like Bruno?
I think you need to change the color of the stars.
Yeah, it looks the same as the map.
Maybe use like red or something.
I'm trying to find that now.
Okay, where else? I saw someone online put China.
I did those.
Okay, why China and how many?
Well, I put a bunch of them on there because there are so many unreached people groups. It's a large country and so many unreached people groups.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, China, he has like 4 or 5 in there.
How many as a group together, how many are we going to, we only have 100. How many are we going to put in China?
30.
30. Okay.
Everyone 50 there. Maybe 50.
My people. Let my people go.
Okay, that brings
up. It's not because it's my people.
So that brings up a question.
Yeah.
Should we as a church concentrate on one country, or should we disperse it through a bigger area? There's benefits and negatives for both.
I think one country.
Okay, you're the one country. Okay.
Back to Drew.
I think we need some in the U.S. too.
Okay.
The younger people are not coming to church.
You know, Janet, that the Christians around the world actually send missionaries to China to the United States because they believe we don't have God.
Yeah.
People send missionaries to the United States.
Yeah, it's like reversal, right?
Reverse, yeah, role reversal.
How many to US, how many to China? Oh, are we going with 30?
I'm just saying.
Well, what do you, don't make that thing go faster, right?
But, right.
Ask.
Poppy style. Put them in.
In China.
Oh, you're taking them to Antarctica?
I think 20 in US.
Okay. So Janet proposes 20 to China.
Wait, so what?
No, 20 to US.
What was the answer that Arthur had asked? Like, should we focus on one or like diversify your portfolio?
Diversify.
Okay, why? Was that Lily?
Yes, I think we should diversify because what if China closes borders? Suddenly you have 50 missionaries that are out of work and not where we will, what we're going to do with them. So I think we should spread them out because the harvest field is big. It's not just China. And if we are like focusing on reaching out Chinese, there's Chinese everywhere. There's Chinese in Africa. There's Chinese in Europe, you know, and those harvests are ripe as well.
Okay. Good point. Good discussion. Okay. So Ellie put like...
Oh, I was just listening to.
Oh, no, it was
24. It's a lot of the U.S. You're a lot of the U.S., girl.
How many for the U.S.?
5.
Okay, so.
15.
15.
Where is Natalie putting people down?
Oh, I'm just lighting them up.
In the wild land. Right here.
Yes.
Okay.
How about the people that we were
having
them pray for?
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
I think it would be good to like send people.
We're going to go to a Burma restaurant, right? Luke family. We're going to
Afghanistan. Afghanistan. Okay. Okay.
Are you building a bridge somewhere?
No. Yes. For Natalie, these are the unmoved Christians that are not going anywhere.
Yeah.
No, they're already not.
They're like always on their phone.
That's funny.
Natalie, that's the sleeping church.
Right? Yeah. So Middle East, why don't we at least start putting a few pieces?
Some in the Middle East.
Okay, it doesn't have to be a specific country unless they
I put some like in Saudi Arabia, Iraq, Iran.
Okay.
It's real small. I tried to put them in there. It's very small.
I should have brought a few.
Anyone else online want to chime in? You can chime in and we'll put it on the map on the screen or here in class.
I think even to Canada, because now there are a lot of immigrants going into Canada.
And not the Middle East.
From Afghanistan, from Hong Kong.
But there's one in Japan.
Okay, so we put a few on Canada.
Japan, Libya,
and Saudi Arabia, Turkey, Brazil,
UK,
Mexico.
So who put? Some people put Brazil on online. What? Why Brazil?
I put those in. It's a pretty heavily Catholic country, or not? People may not have some of the unreached people in the Amazon. Unreached like native populations have never heard the gospel before.
Okay, so let's put some on Brazil.
I think there's one in, I think there's some in, is that Malaysia? Is that
Malaysia? Yeah, I put that one also as a heavily Islamic country too.
Okay.
Yeah, Southeast Asia, we need more presence.
Okay. So Southeast Asia.
India, there's a couple in India and Iran.
Yeah, put those in.
Wow, we are very
Vietnam.
running out of spots.
We only have 100.
We're running out of two, but okay.
We're running out of people.
Okay, keep on going.
We need more willing.
Yes, Lord.
Now remember, it's one, right? Some countries have one person. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now obviously there are different mission agencies that are sending. But again, the question is, do we just leave one or two in each country? Each country may be millions of people.
Siberia, send somebody to Siberia.
Right.
One person to Siberia.
The missionary we don't like. Why would you send them?
This is your last chance.
That's Lone Ranger.
Right.
Okay, maybe two.
two people we don't
like. Okay, that's a couple. A couple we don't like. People keep telling us to go to restaurants.
What? Hey, I have a question. You may have addressed this already, but when you say unreached people group, and you say, like, for example, Japan, they're actually people who haven't even heard about Jesus. You're talking about those people.
Yeah.
We're not sending people to people who have heard about Jesus, but a ton.
Okay. Yeah. That's a good distinction.
Mm. Right?
Yes.
That's important, right?
Right.
Right.
So no, many people have heard about Jesus.
Yeah.
Would have declined
right
to receive his salvation.
Right.
We're talking about people who haven't even heard.
Yes. Okay.
And not a chance to even accept
right.
or decline.
Right. And heard doesn't always necessarily mean I've never heard the name Jesus. Yes, there are countries and peoples, but it could be that I've never met a real Christian in my
yeah.
life.
I never experienced
right
some type
yeah.
of
gospel
relationship
right.
With the gospel
right.
message.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So Japan is a good example, right? I would think that most Japanese have heard of the name Jesus.
Yes.
But they're the second largest unreached people group
mm-hmm.
because there's very few Christians, if you know,
have came in contact.
Yes. Yeah.
With it.
0.35%.
Then I see.
Well, there's also going to be a distinction between hearing the name of Jesus and knowing who Jesus is or the gospel. That's actually two very different things.
Right.
If you watch movie or American movies, you probably hear Jesus.
Yeah.
Or God.
As a curse word.
Yeah. Right? Or at least, right. Or some type of religious figure. But that's far from knowing who he is and knowing actually what the gospel is, right?
Wow.
So
wow.
That's a distinction too.
Sure. Okay. So we put maybe 2/3 on the map yet. Now where knowing those kind of distinctions, where else what do you want to put?
Can I look at the map?
Yeah.
I can't see.
Here he comes. He's going to move the chess pieces.
Here's China, right?
Yeah. Yes. That big green thing.
More?
I
say. Oh, anyways.
No,
whatever.
Indonesia,
sure.
Yeah.
Say, along this road.
The new Silk Road.
Yeah, the Belt Road. Line them up all here.
Is Lily or Ivan online?
Maybe more in Africa now.
Okay, more in Africa.
Africa.
Okay, where specifically in Africa?
I don't really know the countries.
We can put some Afghanistan.
Oh, like, Sudan. Probably Sudan.
It was more the unreached were on the northern half.
Yeah.
Egypt, Algeria.
Yeah.
The lower has.
Right.
Yeah.
Some other countries in
Somalia.
Africa have more Christians than the US.
Right. Yeah. Mm. But
like the northern, like Ethiopia.
Yeah.
I'm curious. Won't the missionaries themselves also have opinion? Like maybe they know where they want to go?
No, that's a good, very good point, right?
Gotcha.
We're just putting them down like they have no say in anything. Like they're gonna, of course, yes, they do have their opinions and they have. So some missionaries are curious. They're like, we will go anywhere. Just send us wherever.
Malaysia.
Okay.
Yeah.
But there's some missionaries who like, no, we have a heart for this country.
Mm.
Okay. Is the missionary agency, are we gonna tell them no? Okay, that part of the world, no, we want to do this, okay? Sometimes mission agencies will do that. We'll say, no, we don't concentrate on there. Our focus is here, okay? If you, we're not saying you don't go there, we just say maybe find another mission agency that goes there, right? Or that mission agency may be open to that. It's like, even though we may have more people here and there's not as less a need, but because you have that heart, we'll send you there. Okay, so there's many, many different scenarios.
And there's some missionary agencies that solely focus on the most difficult, hardest to reach peoples.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all they primarily focus on.
Okay, you guys got 2 minutes to place the rest of the...
Okay.
Either reinforce just like the game of Risk, either reinforce or like do new areas.
Yeah.
Well, I did put a star into Australia only because there are a very large number of immigrants going to Australia now.
Okay.
Hong Kong.
That's true. Did you
Australia
know?
Now.
Australia, he was mentioning Australia, and there's a large number of immigrants to Australia, right? Yeah. So typically we think Australia, like UK, like,
right.
You know, but it's actually, there's a lot of, there's indigenous people and there are immigrants.
Because I researched it.
Oh,
that's right.
There's a large number of Afghans who have immigrated to Australia. Yeah.
So based on what Frank said, if we were to emphasize the least reached, the least unengaged.
Mm-hmm.
So in America, can we focus on the immigrants, the refugees, the international students who have never heard?
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Is that the most unreached in America then?
Because sometimes I ask him, why are we choosing to spend time with these? And then I was like, you're right. Like they've never, even though they're Muslim, Jesus is in their Quran, but they've really never had a relationship with a Christian.
I see.
So,
or
yeah.
Exposed to the gospel.
Right. So it's the gospel. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's international students, immigrants.
Yes. What?
Immigrants.
Mm-hmm.
And refugees. Yeah.
Refugees.
Okay, let's do the last few. Where will we put it?
About Hawaii.
Okay, for the missionaries. They need vacation too, right? Hawaii, okay.
Can you put some in Siberia? Can you put one missionary at our church to reach the many international and, you know, the internationals and refugees that our church may have a strength in reaching? Put a missionary right here.
Southern California. Great.
Elias, Branch Group, Montana.
Okay. Any last things as we wrap this up?
Reinforce.
You still have places that are not placed?
Thailand. You have people swimming in the ocean.
Yeah.
And then okay. Natalie's group of Christians who are
They're going.
If you have a few pieces left, I would say, like, look for places where they're just like one by themselves.
Yeah,
it's going to be really hard to work by yourself alone for a long time.
We don't want to be lonely.
And then some of the areas you really want to focus, prioritize, like, you know, that's really where you feel the burden is, and you would put people there.
That's why more.
You put your people and resources there.
Okay, good. Okay.
This is very 1040.
Okay. So they're just kind of reinforcing the places that you already have stars on.
Can I take a picture?
Oh, yeah. That's good stuff.
Yeah.
Picture.
The last few.
Yeah.
Okay.
Does the horse people represent like more?
There are a lot more immigrants in South America than you realize.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So a Chinese immigrant. So you can put somewhere there, I think, South America.
Uh-huh. Okay, great.
Is that one Lone Star in Russia?
Yeah, so we have two here. So you can put another star there if you want. Okay, that's pretty good. Okay. All right. So let's go sit back and let's
Maddie, are those two placed or they're in the ocean?
It's Hawaii.
Oh, Hawaii. Like
they're
said.
On vacation.
Right.
Like home assignment.
Yeah.
No, there are people that need to be reached there too.
We'll go start my circle
okay.
Ministry.
Okay. So now I'm gonna share this video. It's about 5 minutes. Okay. We'll watch this video in response to this, okay? And maybe it'll change something. Okay.
Jesus told us 2,000 years ago that our mission is to go and make disciples of all nations. He also promised us that only after we accomplish that task will we receive the blessing of his return. So, how are we doing accomplishing our mission? To answer that, let's classify the 7 billion people on the earth today into three groups. Let's start with the Christians. About 33% of the world's population would identify itself as Christian. We call this segment of the population World C. C for Christian. It's important to remember that not all of the people that fall into World C are true believers in Christ. They merely identify themselves as Christian because of nominal belief in Jesus, or because they live in a country where everyone is considered Christian, so they would do the same. Next, there's the 38% of the world that has access to the gospel but has chosen not to follow Jesus. They have Bibles in their language, churches nearby, friends or co-workers who are potentially Christians, or access to other Christian resources in their language. These people have access to the good news, but just haven't acted on it yet. This segment of the population is called World B. That leaves us with 29% of the world, just over 1 out of every 4 people on this planet who not only have never heard of Jesus, they have no chance of hearing the good news of Jesus Christ. They have no access to the gospel, no Bibles, no churches, no believers nearby, no chance to learn about Jesus. We call that 29% World A. Now, on to missionaries. Only 1 out of every 1,800 Christians in World C decides to serve as a cross-cultural missionary. So, we can pull 400,000 missionaries out of that World C population. That's our total cross-cultural missionary force worldwide. Did you know that 72% of all our missionaries are going to World C? That's right, the vast majority of the missionaries being sent out are going to the people of the world that have Bibles and established churches. 25% of the missionaries are sent to World B, where there is already some access to the church and to the Bible. That leaves only 3% of the total missionary force to handle all of World A, the section of the population without any chance of hearing about Jesus. 29% of the world has no way to hear the gospel, but we're sending only a tiny portion of our Christian workers to them. What about finances? Annually, all those Christians in World C earn a total of $42 trillion, and together they give about $700 billion to Christian causes each year. That includes everything: Christian nonprofits, churches, youth programs, missions, etc. Can you do the math? Less than 2% of Christian income is being given to Christ's causes. Out of that $700 billion given to all Christian causes, only $45 billion is given to missions specifically. That's a little over 6%. In fact, there is more money reported embezzled from the church each year than is given to missions. Remember those 400,000 missionaries? We have $45 billion to support them and their cross-cultural work, but how exactly is it allocated? Well, $39 billion goes to World C every year. Yep, 87% of that missions money is being spent in areas of the world that have Bibles and churches available. $5.4 billion, or 12%, goes to World B each year, those that have access to the gospel message but have rejected it. That leaves only $450 million, or 1% of all missions money, going to World A, the least reached people of the world. To put that into perspective, annually, Americans spend more money on Halloween costumes for their pets than gets sent to World A. To summarize, only 3% of our missionary force, armed with only 1% of missions giving, is going out to reach the 2 billion people who don't have access to the gospel. 2 billion people are still waiting for the good news of Jesus Christ. So here's a question for you. What are you going to do to change that?
Okay, so I'll open up to the floor. What's your reaction to that? And maybe how would you have changed the way you sent out workers?
I think it kind of reflects on what my choices or our choices were for this exercise. Like, we tend to go for, of course, we know countries that need to hear the gospel, but we tend to go for places that we're more familiar with.
Oh, I'm really glad.
Or we think that we can yield results.
Yeah. Okay. Good points. Right. When I've done this exercise in the past, it became like, oh, I know this person in this country, so I'm going to send people here. I know this. And I'm familiar with, oh, I visited this, so I'm going to send this, which is not a wrong thing. It's good to have connection, but is it the least reached place, right? That may not be the case. Good. Other thoughts?
Yeah, but you also don't want to be killed on your first day.
Okay. Okay. You don't want them killed. Okay, yes.
Be killed.
Be killed. We don't want them to be killed. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So the balance, right? There's understanding safety concerns. Yes.
A varying couple.
Yeah. Right. Or we don't even want to send a couple that's not suited for a particular environment, right? Because they're not going to last long.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not talking about physically dying, but just like emotionally and whatnot. Okay, but yes, physically too. What other reactions?
Is China considered reached? I don't know what they're reading that on.
Okay, so that brings up another question, right? Does China unreached? Okay. If you're talking about a country, that's a different question, whether or the people groups, right? Since we're focused on the people groups, the Han Chinese are considered reached, meaning there's a lot of Han Chinese Christians that they can preach to their neighbors and friends, right? But in China, there's many other people groups that are unreached.
Isn't it the greatest number of like unreached people groups in a particular country is China?
It's one of the greatest, but there's another country that's even greater. Do you guys know that country? No. The greatest number of unreached people groups
in
this particular country.
Yeah, I thought it was China.
India. India has the largest number of, because there's some, we think Indians is one group, but there's thousands of people groups in different sex, languages, dialects, everything. Yeah. Okay.
Arthur, is that information in the video pretty recent or is that older, you know?
Maybe 5 to 10 years.
Really?
Something like that. Maybe not 10, maybe 5-ish.
I wonder if the statistics have changed a lot in that time.
Yeah. Yeah, probably not. Not with COVID. Yeah. Any other reactions?
I will just say Janet's choices resonated with me. I think is what you were saying. Japan, you know, you wouldn't think, right? It's such a developed nation. But yeah, it's the only country I've seen that's declining evangelical rate. Yeah, if there's something about uniquely in bondage in Japan, I don't know what it is. And then Indonesia, because all the Muslims, right? 1 billion. Yeah.
To me, it's a little, I don't know, emoting, you know, since I process from an emotional perspective sometimes. It's heartbreaking for me, not just the money or the funds or the group A of the world. It's heartbreaking for me, even when, you know, the video talked about in group C, churched, you know, there's a lot of nominal Christians, or even in group B where the gospel is available, but there's still possible of, you know, rejection of Christ. And, but I think what I think is most heartbreaking to me is, I don't know how to help brothers and sisters, like just long to proclaim the good news. Like I struggle with that. It's so hard for me to know how, you know, we throw around the word mobilization for missions in the church, but I don't know what else to do, you know, as a pastor. I feel like very, not discouraged, but I think just heartbroken that why are we not awake to that? It doesn't even matter necessarily our missions funding and our church. To me, as it matters that we're not just seeing that as something so prioritized in our lives to be heartbroken for anyone around who doesn't have Jesus. Mm-hmm. You know, I can understand if we've already preached the gospel or we've been gospel oriented people and people have rejected that. That's mm-hmm. different. But to not even be active in that, mm-hmm. I don't know, I'm at a loss because this has bothered me for a long time and I just don't really know what to do. Yeah.
Well, thank you for sharing that. Mm-hmm. We'll talk more about this because this is just next time we meet, we'll talk more about sending. And like with anything, we want practical ways. But let me, you know, what Alex brought up, I'm going to read this. I wasn't sure I was going to share this. I think this is this may help us understand. Okay, so this is from John Piper. He's a famous preacher and talks about a lot of things, but missions also. It says, the more deeply you walk with Christ, the hungrier you get for Christ, the more homesick you get for heaven, the more you want all the fullness of God, the more you want to be done with sin, the more you want the bridegroom to come again, the more you want the church revived and purified with the beauty of Jesus, the more you want a great awakening to God's reality in the cities, the more you want to see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ penetrate the darkness of all the unreached peoples of the earth, the more you want to see false worldviews yield to the force of the truth, the more you want to see pain relieved and tears wiped away and death destroyed, the more you long for every wrong to be made right and the justice and grace of God to fill the earth like the waters cover the sea. If you don't feel strong desires for the manifestation of the glory of God, it's not because you have drunk deeply and are satisfied. It is because you have nibbled so long at the table of the world. Your soul is stuffed with small things, and there is no room for the great. God did not create you for this. There is an appetite for God, and it can be awakened. So I want to leave you with those thoughts because I think that's true for, you know, not for just this church, but all churches in North, many churches in North America, and not just true for a few, almost all Christians. We that's our fault, right? We like these other things, these smaller things, less important things, but we elevate them to a higher position than the greatness of God in the world. Right, so there's not much desire. You think about what we pray for. We pray for the things that matter to us, right? But what about the things that matter to God? Not that the things that we care about don't matter to God. Of course, God loves us. We're his children. But is that the overarching thing that God wants in the world? So it's something to reflect on. So we're going to stop right here. There's no homework. New homework, I should say, for this class. But I do encourage you to continue to look back on the learn list and the prayer list and to focus on that. Okay. So I won't, you know, I'm not here to embarrass people. Oh, did you do your homework? And I don't really care personally, but I would say that for homework, we do it as an opportunity for God to bless us, right? We do it so that, you know, if blessings, God gives us blessings so that we can bless others. If we don't bless other people, then God may not bless us as much. Okay. We're still his children. Like, for example, like if Manny and Christina one day, they don't want to ever go to college. Okay. They just want to stay home. Okay. And don't take any risks. Okay. I will still bless them because they're my children, but I have saved all this money for them to have the opportunity to go to college, to experience, risk, yes, but the experience like God there at their college, right? But they will never be blessed to that degree if they don't take that risk, right? And the same for us. So I want us to take practical steps. So review those learn lists and prayer lists to do so. And then, so that's it, but I do want to promote one thing here. I'll share this. I told Kai I would share promote this. Okay, this is the CMC Global Conference that we all have access to through the church. The church has purchased a number of spots. This is an online conference. It's happening December 28th, 29th online.
We still have a few free spots open.
Okay, so email, I think it's Arthur Lai or Kai. So email them if you want to join that. I'll just 1 minute. I know we're going a little bit over. Okay, I'll just share. This is like a 1 minute promo video. So email Kai if you're interested. Next week, Frank's going to continue on this topic of the role of the church in sending. And then 2 weeks from now, I've invited a missionary couple to come and share. So they're a young couple. They're not like old and, you know, like they're a young couple. They're younger than us. They have little kids.
So get their own.
You know, that's fine too, but, you know.
Totally
just,
wise.
Yeah. So they're going to come and share. So in 2 weeks, we'll get to the benefit. Okay, great. So someone want to pray for us? Who wants to pray for us? Grace, do you want to pray?
Okay. We confess that you are worthy and we are not. And Lord, we only get a glimpse of your great love for us and also for your people. So Lord, we just pray, as Arthur is reading from that book, purify our hunger. Lord, help us to yearn truly and most deeply the things that we take in to fill our needs or wants, Lord. We orient ourselves to hunger for you, Jesus. So we just pray for that beginning step for us individually as a church, Lord, to awaken us, Lord,
yes.
Awaken us to, Lord, how you are here, but we don't see it because we miss it. To awaken us to how you're moving, Lord, in our midst, in our life, and in this world, and Lord, just so we can worship you, Lord, and that we would just, whatever comes out of this, comes from that. So we ask you, Lord, your mercy and for, help us to die, Lord, to this daily die, for us all, Lord, because you're worthy. Praise in the name.
Amen. Amen.